I went to an event with Toby Moffat. I think it was actually Patty LaShane's joining us later, and I think it was through Patty. We went to an event in downtown Hartford, and I sat next to Toby Moffat, and had the most delightful conversation. I didn't know much about him. You know, I came to Connecticut originally in 1998, and I worked at ESPN, then I worked at NBC Connecticut, and started in sports, and then anchored the news, and then I left in 07, came back in 19, and I just didn't, you know, when I was here in my first stint, I wasn't as focused on the politics of the moment, and so I didn't know much about Toby, and what, you know, an incredible career. Obviously served in Congress for multiple terms, and ran for Senate, and just as a wealth of knowledge of D.C. politics and the world beyond, and he joins us now on Brian and Company. Toby, good morning. How are you? Sorry about that. I had something down. It's good to connect. Go ahead.
I was washed up by the time you got to Connecticut.
But you were kind of a prod. What are you, 82 now? How old are you?
I don't really like to divulge that, but yes, I turned 82 2 days ago.
You were like a kid phenom, you know, when you came on the scene, right? I mean, what drew you into politics in the first place?
I mean, I would never vote for somebody for Congress at it was 29, but people did it. So I don't know. What drew me into politics was Ralph Nader and I at the time. We had this connection, Brian, that was a believe it or not, a Lebanese connection. So my father, our family came from immigrants, my mother and father from Lebanon, and they settled in the diaspora in Western Mass, you know, Holyoke, Springfield area. The only reason I ever arrived in Connecticut was because my dad got a job as a caretaker on a big estate right on the line in Suffield between Hartford and Springfield, right, you know, next to Agawam, right on the state line. And my father, some years later, they sold the estate. He became a beer salesman, and he called me. I was in D.C. I was like 24 years old. I was working for health, education, and welfare. And he said, "Hey, I met a Lebanese guy." And I said, "What do you mean? Who?" And he said, "Oh, it's this guy up in Winsted. He has this restaurant called the Highland Arms Restaurant." So I'm like yawning, you know. And then I said, "What?" And he says, "His son is here. Is there in Washington? You need to get together with him." And I thought, "Oh my God!" And he said, "I said, what's his name?" He said, "Ralph Nader." I said, "Are you kidding me?" Because this was just when Unsafe at Any Speed came out, you know, and Ralph was quite famous. So Ralph and I became, friends, and we started working to create the Connecticut Citizen Action Group in Connecticut as a model for the rest of the country. And Ralph convinced me to go back, to leave Washington and go return to my home state to be the first director. So that got me involved in politics, you know, because CCAG was new on the scene, and we were lobbying for environmental and consumer things and so forth. So that's how it all started. And then in 74, which turned out to be a historic year, you know, the 75 new Democrats were elected. That's hard to get your arms around right now. It's a new class of 75. And so I was one of them from Northwest Connecticut. And we were called the Watergate Babies, actually. I don't know if you ever heard that term. But that's how I got involved. And then I term limited myself. I told this kid in Newtown High School when I was running. I was 29 years old. I'm running, I'm a kid, but he's a younger kid. He's like a high school student. And he says, "Oh, you say people stay too long in Washington. How long are you going to stay?" And I said, I won't stay more than 5 terms. And so I was sort of stuck with that. And that's why I ran for the Senate, and lost narrowly.
You know, we're talking about Toby Moffat, former congressman, and lived an incredible political and personal life here on Brian and Company. And we're not going to have nearly enough time to talk about it, and I hope to get more time with you in the future. But, you know, you're younger than Luke Bronin, and when you entered Congress, and of course he does have to win the general, but he's heavily favored. I'm just curious of what you know, prompted you to, and I learned all those things about you, by the way, by reading what you wrote to him, but that open letter that was published in CT Mirror, what prompted you to want to do something like that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I think a lot of people do this who, you know, leave the political scene. I haven't really left it. I'm very involved, but I mean, who, you know, are no longer elected officials. they like to mentor other people. That's what I was suggesting that Luke asked John Larson to do, you know, as soon as possible to mentor him, because John would be just a wonderful mentor for him. But so I started doing that with various people who ran for office, and I got to know a lot of freshmen over the decades. And in 06, the district that I had represented was represented by Nancy Johnson, had been for many years after I left. And Chris Murphy was running up there in the northwest corner, and Joe Courtney was running in the northeast corner. So that's 20 years ago. And I wrote a piece, and it ended up in the Washington Post. It was really for them, but it turned out to be for the freshman class. And so I had a little bit of a track record there, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that, you know, like if somebody said to you, okay, you're a former member of Congress, write a letter with tips for the new members. You know, you write about how to pass a bill and all that crap, right? But no, this is more about you go to the gym, you join a prayer group.
Yeah.
You know, you walk across the aisle. I mean, those kinds of things that solidify your relationships.
Well, I love the part about, you know, whether it's once a week or once a month or whatever, just randomly going into another of the 435's office and just strike up a conversation or even get to know their staff. I think that is such a great idea.
Yeah, virtually nobody does that, you know. And I started telling other people, so then they started doing it. And it just really, you know, builds friendships. But just to go back to Luke Bronin, I don't really know Luke that well. I've talked to him, you know, over the years when he was mayor and so forth. I thought he did a good job, and he'll be a good member. But, you know, there are a lot of things, Brian, that I wanted to say in that letter, but I just didn't have room. One of which I'll tell you now. He's got to make friends with the delegation, you know. The delegation was on the other side of this. And, they love John Larson. We're losing a major, major piece of power here. Right now, we're about to lose a seat on the Ways and Means Committee. It's not like Luke's going to go there and they're going to put him on the Ways and Means Committee. That's not going to happen. That's called an exclusive committee. You have to spend some time before you get to go on that, right? So we just need to be candid with ourselves. We're losing power in the delegation because of this election. That doesn't mean we won't be stronger later. It just means we have to acknowledge what's going on, you know. So Rosa DeLauro, nobody would necessarily, very few people would have reason to know this, but Rosa DeLauro is the most important person in the Congress for many reasons, one of which is she's the lead on making all the committee appointments. But second, of course, she's the top Democrat on appropriations. He's got to get close to her. He's got to get on something like the Oversight Committee. Because there'll be a lot of vacancies there. It's becoming a hot committee because people want oversight of Trump, and they haven't had it with the Republican majority. So, by the way, I'm talking as though I'm totally sure our side is going to be in the majority. I am virtually sure, but I can't, you know, go to the bank on that. But anyway, he's got to get on a committee where he gets in the spotlight and he can really do serious oversight on what the administration is doing in a whole bunch of areas, because we just lost a big piece of power here.
Yeah, you know, we got to run, but I would love to have a conversation on the who gets, if you flip the House, because there's a lot of arguments that this emergence of the DSA winning some primaries is actually going to counter that, and now it's very much in play. Although
I got a lot to say about that, but
we gotta hop in a car and come up here. Let's hang out. I mean, I could spend an hour talking to you, Toby. So I really appreciate the time this morning, and we'll connect and communicate about a good time to be.
I love it.
Yeah, because I love it. I love your insight, and I would love to talk to you more. Have a great weekend, sir.
Yep. Yeah,
go
Huskies, right?
Yeah, that's right. Toby Moffitt.
Thanks
for that. Yeah, see you, Toby. And again, you might not agree with his politics. I mean, I saw Matt's eyes roll with the Rosa DeLauro line. But, I mean, she is the ranking member on appropriations, which is a big job. Although I do think that we're due for a turnover in a lot of the congressional delegation here in Connecticut. But it's a conversation. But Toby's just amazing. In terms of a conversationalist, and even the stuff about, you know, Read the article on CT Mirror. It's really interesting stuff in terms of his open letter to Luke Bronin.